For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday afternoon service of September the 3rd, 1994, of the Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The coffees are the speakers for the afternoon.
You know, this place got named the Deliverance Camp some years back. My wife and I started coming over here years ago. We came in to be fed and to rest for a little while. We did this for years. But about 3 or 4 years ago, we got up on the front row. Now, where do I start? You know, in 1980, God called us to pastor a church. He knew what he had to work with, and that's why he called us, because we didn't have anything. And he could work with us. We didn't have preconceived ideas how a church ought to be run and what we ought to do and how everybody ought to live. So we were able, had to listen to God to direct us. It's 4 years before that, we came out of a denominational church. We were still in it at the time he called us to pastor this church. But 4 years before that, God did a miracle in my life. One night at a full gospel businessman's meeting, I cried out to God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I wouldn't pray in tongues. My denominational teaching stopped me cold, like he does a lot of people. But I was hurting in a leg because of some rheumatism, and I asked for a chair to sit down. There wasn't any chairs in the room. We were praying for people standing around the wall. And I asked for a chair to sit down, and the man that was praying for me said, sure. And he ran, got a chair out of another room and brought it in and said, let me pray for your leg. And I sat down, and he reached down, and you've seen people adjust legs. I know everybody here has seen legs adjusted, haven't you? Anybody hadn't seen a leg adjusted? Well, he was going to pray over my legs, adjust the leg. And he grabbed the leg. He said, there's something wrong with this leg. And I told him I had rheumatism. And I wouldn't know what he was talking about. And I thought. I said, well, I said, it's an inch and a half shorter than the other one. He said, thank you, Lord. And it jumped out. Just like that. I don't mean it eased out. I was correct. It jumped out. It felt like 110 volts of electricity. It ran up his hand through my left leg to the top of my head. And I got up and couldn't walk because I stumbled every time I tried to take a step because I had a leg that was an inch and a half longer than it had been 5 minutes before that. Now, isn't that a wonderful testimony? I know people who live on testimonies like that. Now, wait, don't clap yet. Because I know too many people that live on past experiences that God has done some great thing in their life, and that's where they are. They're still back there. But I want you to know tonight that God, or today, God is busy in my life. God is moving. I mean, God is delivering people. I see the power of God move in when we trust in the Lord to set people free. We didn't search for ministry of deliverance. We never hunted that. We got drug into it. I mean, I tell everybody my heel marks are from the front door down to the pulpit. He drugged me every step of the way down there. Because I didn't walk down there freely. I wanted healing. That's good and clean. Amen. They all like healing. That's what I wanted. Deliverance is dirty. Now, you that know deliverance know it's dirty. We're dealing with the devil. We're dealing with demons and evil spirits, fallen angels, and Satan himself behind all of it. Now, I don't think we run into Satan too many times. I don't think he's too interested in little people. But I'm not little. I'm God's messenger or God's steward. But he fights us every step of the way. I don't know how many of you all have been in deliverance before. I want to tell you, just mention the fact that we're in deliverance. This is where God put us. He gave it to my wife. He didn't give it to me, though. He gave it to her. She's the deliverance worker. I've seen God move, though. And when he started moving in her, I said, she's leaving me. Spiritually, she's walking off from me.
and I can't have that happen. I've got to go. And I got in the Word of God, and I started searching out, and I've never found her to be out of the Word of God. And what she ministers, if she doesn't back it up with the Word of God, then you're supposed to throw it out. But I've never found her where we could throw anything out, because she always ministers the Word of God. Deliverance is real. If you'll start taking your Bible and marking deliverance in it, and you can start in the fourth chapter of Matthew, if you want to do it in the New Testament, in the last verses of the fourth chapter, and then skip over the what we commonly call the Sermon of the Mount, begin in 8. And start there at 8 and mark. Every time you see deliverance, you'd be surprised. A third of Jesus' ministry was deliverance. Jesus taught the kingdom, preaching the kingdom. Salvation wasn't available yet, but it was the kingdom. Living in the kingdom, walking in the kingdom. He taught healing. And he taught, if you don't get free, you can't walk in any of this. You can't walk in healing if you don't get free. And you can't walk in the kingdom if you don't get free. So it had to be deliverance. We get the question every time you turn around. Can a demon have a Christian? Well, you ought to say it the other way. Can a Christian have a demon? Well, did the devil ever quit? Did he ever give up? Do you ever known him to give up? Well, those things that are harassing you today, where'd they come from? Do you ever get angry? Do you get mad at people? What do you say when you mash a finger? What comes out of your mouth? We say we love God and we are serving God. And we've heard a lot of good teaching that definitely relates to what the ministry that we have, the soul. Because this is what we're talking about. Where's the devil's playground? Where does he play? Where does he live? Right here. This is where he is. He controls the work that he does. He works on the mighty. So, don't sit and say, that pertains to my neighbor, when we start talking about demons. I don't have any. I have people say, you ever see anybody that doesn't have a demon? No, I haven't met him yet. I haven't run across that person that doesn't have one. And then they say, well, that's all y'all talk about. Oh, no, we talk about salvation. We just put him under our feet. We put the demons under our feet. They tell us you see demons everywhere you go. No, I don't see demons. I don't look for demons. But when they're there, it's not just one. There's a whole family of them sitting there. I say, it's a bunch of them. They say there are demons under every rock. No, there's a family of them under the rock. There's a whole family down there. They don't come singles. They just open the door and bring friends and family in right away. So don't take this as some fanatical teachers over across the river over in Tennessee. This is real. This is life. And deliverance is a way of life. I think that's what I came to say. I've done all this to say and get to this point. Our life is different, my wife and myself. Our life is completely different. It's different from our people that we minister to. We have a storefront church. Our life is different from those people. My life is different from the people that I know, the Christians that I know. We walk in deliverance all day long, every day in the week. I fight sickness with deliverance. Do you get sick? Yes, I get sick. I've just fought off the flu. Got rid of it in a day. But I've got the results of it. The aftermath of flu has been on me for about 4 days, 5 days now. Got down last Saturday night, I couldn't move in my back. The demons tore me into my back so bad, I couldn't even get up and go to bed. When I did crawl in bed, I lay for 3 hours and woke her up, and she ministered the rest of the night to me. Yes, we fight them. But do you know what I got up Sunday morning and preached? And I walked straight, and he was gone off my back. This is a way of life. And those things that are hitting you, they're not accidental things. You say, well, I stumped my toe. I had an accident. No, the devil tried to trip you and kill you. That's what he was trying to do. So always recognize the fact that the arch enemy is out to get you. And if you don't fight, you are in a war whether you realize it or not. And if you don't fight, he's going to get you. Now, Mildred, come minister deliverance, what the Lord has given you.
Listen to him. And he said he's not in deliverance. Don't think of that. The only reason he said this is when we first got into it, I would be up at night sometimes all night ministering to people. We didn't know how to bind spirits. And you get something manifested, you couldn't go off and leave somebody that was, then they're going to kill themselves or something. So we just sit and prayed all night. And he still works a full job, a full time at his job. And so we would go to the church, and the people would come up and help us minister, and we'd leave him at home in bed so he could get up and go to work next morning. He had to feed us because our church, because we don't let the church take care of our needs. We're just a small group. The church pays us, but not enough to live on. But anyway, praise the Lord. I do praise the Lord for my husband, and I want him to retire. I want him to take and go with me. I'm being sent a lot, and I don't like to go without him. In fact, I'm not whole unless he's with me. And I want my covering. He's my covering. He's my husband. And the Lord's going to work it out where he can retire and go with me where the places I go to minister. And I was really praying about what the minister, everybody kept talking about soul first night. Tommy took all my scriptures. I'm still going to talk about soul. Last time I was here, I ministered on destructive roots, and I just touched on the soul a little bit. But I want to share some on the soul. I was up in Irma's class a while ago, and one of the ladies was talking about why the sins, that things that her husband was doing, how they would affect her, and how, what could she do about them. I didn't share with what I knew then, because I knew through deliverance and through the Lord revealing everything I teach, I've experienced it one way or the other. And a lot of times God will give me things that I don't know whether it's in the Bible or not, but he always eventually shows it to me in Scripture. And I was this lady that was having that problem with her the husband, I don't even know even who she was, because I was sitting at her back. But there's an evil soul tie you have with a husband. You have a good soul tie with him, you become one flesh, and you have a good soul tie with him, but there's also an evil one. Because every time he does something I don't like, I get mad, and I growl and grumble inside. And he does the same thing. And that's the evil part that works. You have when God said in Genesis, when man and woman were married, put together, they became one flesh, or their souls are knit together. And I believe that. I believe it's hard to separate me from my husband, almost as hard as it would be to separate me from Jesus. And I know that we have this soul tie. But I learned through sickness that we have an evil soul tie. He came in from he was always getting something at work and bringing it home and giving it to me. And I continued saying, Lord, I don't believe in sickness. Why do I keep getting it? And he was doing deliverance trying to get the stuff off of me one night, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, break the evil soul tie. Well, you said, well, I got a good soul tie with my husband. But the Lord spoke it, and I said to him, I said, hun, break the soul tie between us, an evil soul tie. And he did, and started caught what was happening. The spirits were transferring the sickness through that evil soul tie, and I was getting all the stuff he was bringing home. And as he sat there and began to call it off of me, started calling off of him, then he stopped calling off of me, and he was calling off of himself, and I got delivered from it as he called it off of him. So don't tell me you can't have soul ties and evil ones, because you can. See, I've experienced relief from it. I was telling one of the ladies, when I get up to preach sometimes, one lady asked me in the restroom hall, go, do people think you're from outer space or something like that? And I said, yeah, they think I flew in somewhere. But, you see, this has been a way of life with us for so long. And I've been wanting to come over here and teach some on soul ties and how the soul's fragmented. And it is. And was talking about God wanting to bring us soul, spirit, and soul and body all together. But you know why he can't do it? We ain't got all of our souls. You say, I won't believe that. Don't look at me. I didn't come out from under a rock either. But the Word says it. You prayed it all your life, and you read it all your life. He restores my soul. God's Word said in Psalms 23, verse 3, he says he restores our soul. Well, if he restores our soul, why do we need it restored if we've got it all? I'm going to have to condense this because I don't have enough time to go into it like I wanted to. But if you will, open your Bible to Psalm 7.
We
know, and anyone that knows anything at all about witchcraft knows that the witchcraft and people in Satanism and witchcraft will try to remove a person's soul, parts of their soul, and say, I don't know anything about that. I don't know how they do it, but I just know they do. But I also know that you can put parts of your soul into other people, into things, and we have never, ever been taught about getting our soul out of different people and out of things. You ever say, well, when my daughter was in college, I made her a formal, she's going to her dance, Christian, or dinner, I don't know what it was, Christian school, but I was making this dress, and I worked and worked on it, and I thought, oh, and I said this, I put my heart and soul in that thing, I worked so hard on it, and I thought, later, years later, the Lord reminded me of that, and I thought, well, Lord, you were trying to get through to me even then, that we put a part of us goes into everything that we love better than we do God, our children. You got good soul ties with your kids, but you got evil soul ties with them because you let them manipulate you and get anything they want from you. And that's an evil soul tie. Yeah, I look at some of you look at me like I did fall out of a tree or something, but let me tell you, it's in the Word. You got Psalm 7? Psalm 7, verse 1 says, he says, oh, Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust, save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. Now, let's stop right there and let's look at this. Rending your soul in pieces while there's none to deliver. Now, let me ask you something. Before you came to know Jesus Christ, how did you know how to protect your soul? Did you know how to protect it? No. No. And when you did not know Jesus, and when you were walking in the world and in the things of the world, your soul was just being taken away piece by piece, and you didn't know it. There was none to deliver. There was none to tell you that Jesus is Lord, that you need all of your soul. God's Word says He wants us to love Him with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, every part of our being. That's why the devil wants it, and also he wants it because over in Genesis 2, when he said he breathed the breath of life into man, he put a part of himself into man, and man became a living soul, and the devil wants that part out of you because that's the part of you that needs to be changed and saved and brought into to the Lord and filled with Jesus. And we have had, we see people in hospitals, in nursing homes, and their mind, they have no mind, and yet they serve the Lord all their lives. And no one ever prayed for them to have their soul restored. No one ever went over them and prayed for them and said, Father knows where all the soul is. Send the angels out to bring the soul back. He's given us authority. He's telling us to do it. And we read it and we say, that's good. But it doesn't refer to me. But it refers to all of us. We say when people begin to get older, they don't have the memory they used to have. Why? Because part of the soul's been removed, the part that has the memory in it, the mind, the will, and the emotion. Brother Tommy was saying there's four parts of the soul, but let me tell you, I believe there's more than that. There's a personality. In deliverance, I've run into false personalities, and with every false personality I ever cast out of a person, I had to break a soul tie between whoever that personality was with and call the soul back before I could get the spirit of that personality out. And there's your mind, your will, your emotions, every part of your ability, your appetite. We wondered about the women. You're talking about, one of your brothers was talking about, when we get turned, really, our souls get saved, we won't have to worry about this excess weight. And you eat when you don't want it. Because a portion of your soul was removed. But let me tell you, it's not just removed and left vacant up there. The devil doesn't do that. He doesn't just remove a piece of your soul and leave an empty hole. He will give you a false appetite. I don't believe that. Don't you find yourself going to the refrigerator sometimes when you're not hungry? Not only the women, but the men too. Let's go on. He said, oh Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hand, and if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I've delivered him that without cause is my enemy. Let him persecute my soul and take it. And yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. So he tells us here that the soul has been fragmented when there was none to deliver. There was none to deliver. Well, we are in deliverance today. We're here to receive deliverance. and we don't want to believe all these things. Well, don't we have protection? Yes, we have protection. Yes, we have protection. I have three sermons on this. One is on how the soul's fragmented, how it's restored, and how you protect your soul. We protect it through the name of Jesus and the authority and the power of God. God wants every part of us restored. We want our souls saved so we can go into that holy place with the Father and be one with Him. But because of the things that are in us and because of the part of our mind and will and emotion that's bound and removed, we can't even worship the Lord the way we want to. It's all flesh, that most of the time we worship the Lord in the flesh instead of in the spirit. I see a lot of people looking at me thinking, where did that find her? Praise the Lord. Well, I want you to know this. He said He will restore our soul, but you asked Him to. You have to ask God to restore it. You say, well, why? Because He said over in His Word, He restoreth our soul. And I say, Lord, I want every part of my soul brought back. I want every part of my mind, my will, and emotion brought back. Let me show you something. Jim preached and touched it over in Genesis in the third chapter of Genesis. I quoted the one in second chapter of Genesis, but in Genesis 3 and verse 14, if you want to know why we have to fight the devil and continually fight the devil, read Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, you know what He did? He had gotten the woman to sin. He said, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. What are you made out of? And God said, the devil, the serpent is going to eat on you all the days of your life. And He's telling you, I've given you authority. You don't have to let him. You don't have to let him. You don't have to walk where you're walking if you will ask the Lord to send forth, to restore all that the enemy, hadn't He promised us to restore all that the enemy stolen from us, all of his soul, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our will, and our emotion? I want every part of me back to love the Lord like I want to. My desire is to know Him, to know Him, and the power of His resurrection. What's the last part of that? Well, He wants us to know Him, and we want to know Him, but because we're not complete. The demon told me the other night, I was dealing with a lady, and he told me, he came into this little girl this girl's 30-something years old. He said he came in when she was 2 years old, and I was looking at him like, well, I was just looking real, you know, like I want to punch him out. He said, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, we don't play fair. And what I was thinking is, why did he come in when she was 2 years old? Because she had no protection, because the father wasn't a father over that child to protect her, because the men had known the word enough to protect his children. That's why a lot of the kids are walking where they are today. Because we have walked in so much religion and unbelief and doubt that we don't even stand on the word and walk on it like God wants us to. We need to take authority. God's given us authority. He wants us to walk in that authority and put the devil under our feet and bring Jesus back. Yeah. But until we do that, the devil's going to continue stealing our kids. He's going to continue making people die. Go to Ezekiel chapter 13. I never come over here and preach a sermon than I plan. I wanted to go take verse by verse and show you. God says, I want you restored whole, spirit, soul, and body. That was the first scripture that the Lord gave me in the era. I first heard about the soul tie when Dr. Marcus Haggard was teaching in the Baptist church up in Chicago. And I'm like y'all, I was sitting there with my mouth open, saying, my soul? My soul? And the Lord spoke to me and He said, you can't eat this right now. Don't choke on it. Lay it aside. That's what I'm telling you. Don't choke on what I'm saying right now. Lay it aside. Let God show you. Because let me tell you something. You get your kids' souls back from the drugs and things they are involved in. You get your kids restored. I looked into the eyes of a little girl just this morning, or this afternoon upstairs. And what I saw broke my heart. We need to get their souls back. Ezekiel 13, Psalms 2 said that the soul can be fragmented. And over in Ezekiel, in the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, it says that it can be made to fly. Beginning with verse 17, it says, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own hearts, and prophesy thou against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the heads of every statue to hunt souls. witchcraft. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? There are people lying in hospital beds today that God would have them let them come home, but the enemy has removed a good portion of their soul and replaced spirits in there to steal, to rob, to kill, and destroy the family. When there's someone in a nursing home or in a hospital, it always, always brings hardships on the family. And that's why they keep them alive. And because through witchcraft and whatever, you say, well, how do they do this? I don't know, but I do know this, that portions of when the witches work on you, and you don't know if they get a part of you, anything that belongs to you, they can bring curses upon you. And I just know this scripture says that the soul can be removed and be made to fly through witchcraft. Brother Tommy talked about Nimrod this morning. I was sharing on the hunter souls, and this talks about the hunter souls, and I've met the dude. Excuse me. I met the spirit. I forgot where I am. I'm usually preaching to a bunch of men that are off the street, and... But I met this thing in a girl. He manifested. I was ministering deliverance to the girl and was getting all kinds of sickness out of her. You know, we believe all sickness. We always go after witchcraft first thing when we go praying for somebody that has sickness and witchcraft curses. And I was praying for her. She was having all kinds of things happen to her. And I was calling all the symptoms off. I was saying dizziness. I don't even remember what all. But I was just calling the sickness itself off. And I thought, Lord, I'll never get it all off. It just seems like the more I get off of her, the more I find. And the Spirit of the Lord said, demand the ruler of the sickness to manifest. And I said, demon, in the name of Jesus, I command the ruler to manifest. You that's putting this on her. I don't know who you are, but God does. Who are you? You manifest in Jesus' name. Well, he didn't come right then, but a couple times I said that, and all of a sudden I heard this. And I said, well, who are you? He said, you called me up. I said, well, who are you? I didn't know who he was, and the Lord hadn't told me that. He said, after a little bit of struggling with me, he said, you call the hunter of souls. And I thought, you know, hunter souls, I'd never heard of him before. And so I said, well, what do you do? He said, stupid, I hunt souls. And I said, well, how are you putting sickness on her? Now, I'm real smart. Hunter souls, hunting people's souls. This thing's got all these souls in there. And he says to me, you're so stupid. And I thought, yeah, really, what do you do? He said, every person that I've brought a piece of their soul into her, she's got their sickness. Every sickness that was in the people that he had removed part of the soul is in that girl's body. Well, we threw him out. We threw him out, and she was totally healed. Totally. And then the Lord gave me this scripture. I had read it. I was reading it about the witchcraft. Because it talks about witchcraft. It talks about the false prophet. If you back up and begin with the first part of this chapter, you can see why some of the souls can be removed through people accepting false prophecy that comes to them, and then they try to make them work, and they follow the prophet around that's ministering that, and they get soul ties with them, and then part of their soul will go into him, and then his will go into them, and then he's got them. And that's why the soul ties need to be broken. If you are connected with anybody that prophesies over you all the time, and you give them money and all this thing, break a soul tie with them. Get free from them. I tell you, and when I ran into this thing and realized that in this thing, he also had, she had cancer on her. She had lupus. I can't remember all the other things. Diagnosed by doctors. And when we got this dude out of her, she was healed. And yet we say, well, no demon can't do that. I'm God's child. Well, I don't know when he came in. I didn't ask that. I just knew he was there, and we wanted her healed. We were trying to get her free. We had been going after sickness from her for a long time, calling the sickness off of her. And when we got that out, she was healed. Now, I want you to see this. Now, how is a soul fragmented? Go to Proverbs chapter 6. I mean, like, feel some of the stuff that the lady said to me this morning. I don't know if she's here. That her spirit was not bearing witness with some of the things that were said this morning. And I said, well, don't throw it away. Just lay it aside and let the Lord minister it to you. So don't y'all kick what I'm saying out. So I don't believe all that. I said, Lord, show me. Show me. That's what I said. And by the way, Dr. Hager's got some books back there. Get some of his. He knew a lot about the fragmented soul. And when these brothers were talking, I thought, that's what he was saying. He was saying, there's more. God's going to show me more. He died a few years ago. But he kept telling us, he said, there is more to this soul thing than we know. There is so much more. And when they were talking about God wanting to, bring his spirit, soul, and body into one and under submission and rule of the kingdom of God, I thought, that's what Dr. Haggard was saying. He knew there was more, but he had not gotten into it. Over in Proverbs in chapter 6, it tells us that in verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, but he that doeth it destroys his own soul. See, and through adultery, a portion of the soul can be removed. So the wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. So we know that through many ways, through different things, we can lose part of the soul. Part of the soul can be fragmented. And over in go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to just give you real quick several scriptures to show you some of the things that I know. Verse 8 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians says, so being affectionately desirous of you, this is Paul writing here, says, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own soul, because you were dear unto us. So the soul can be imparted to another. This would be a good soul tie. If you're under a godly teacher and they're imparting spiritual truth to you, then you can have a part of their soul. If they impart it to you, the knowledge that they know is they given to you. But Paul is talking here about it. And so there's also the good as well as the bad. Over in 1 Samuel in chapter 18, to show you that another one was the one between David and Jonathan. I just want to give you the scripture simply because just telling you about them, I want you to see them and maybe write them down so you can read them if you're interested, and see that there are different ways there are the good soul ties and there are the evil soul ties. And this is another one that was a good one. It says, and it came to pass, verse 1 said, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So Jonathan and David's soul was knit together, which was a good soul tie. Like Jim and I, as husband and wife, our souls are knit together, I never knitted, but I could crochet. But you know, you ladies know what I'm talking about when you knit and you put all those threads together, and it's woven together. And so here is another one. As Paul said, he wanted to give part of his soul to the people in Thessalonica. Here we see Jonathan and David have a good soul tie. Now, those are the good ones, which are okay, but there are those evil ones that are not okay, which you need to break. You have a soul tie with the church. I believe I heard Tommy say that this morning. You've gone to the church, and I wanted to pray for that lady, and I didn't do it. She needs to have a soul tie broken between her and the teachings that she's had that would keep her from receiving the rapture. She, I can push this, but she knows what I'm talking about. And if you want to break the soul tie with that, and so if you'll break that soul tie, it doesn't mean you got to accept what they say, but it makes you free where you can accept the truth. You can accept the truth, but if you're bound with a soul tie to a church that is teaching that we're going to fly away, well, then you need to say, Lord, I broke the soul tie between me and the teacher or whoever's teaching this or whatever denomination is, and Lord, not to be bound by anything else, so you can give me the truth. You see, we're bound by religion. We look at everything through our religious glasses, what we've been taught. And that's why when I first heard this, I thought, man, that man fell out from under a rock or out of a tree somewhere. because I'd never heard anything even about the soul. All I know was they told me when I got saved, my soul got saved, but my soul didn't get saved when I got saved. My spirit man was made new, but my soul was still soulish and still walking and still not what I wish you wanted it to be, because I want to hear the Lord more clearly. I want to see and understand in His Word more clearly. I want all that God's got for me, and I don't want to miss any part of it. And so here we see the good soul time. But over in Luke, it talks about, in Luke 12, let's see if that's where I want to go. Yeah, Luke 12.
And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. What I want you to see there, that your soul can go into riches. When you begin to put riches and things of the world above God, you can get let your soul go into those things, but you can also get a spirit of greed. A spirit of greed will come in and try to consume you and to rob you of the things of God. And so we also know that the soul can be traded. In Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16, I believe that's where it is, verse 26, it says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? So we see the soul can go into things, it can go into riches, it can be traded, it can be exchanged. Those are the things where we open the door and have evil soul ties. But God is wanting us to break those things. Let me tell you something. We need to break the soul tie with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That everything we see. The lady in our church, she said she found herself going, every time she went to the store, she was buying things. She wanted to shop all the time. Now, men don't listen. Women. She said every time she went in, she was buying things she knew she didn't need. And she said it just seemed like she was just drawn to it. And she broke a soul tie with things. And when she did, she said, you know, it would just amaze me what happened. She said that I can walk in the store now, no matter what I see. She says, I have no desire to buy it. Going to shop all the time. Now, men don't listen. Women. She said every time she went in, she was buying things she knew she didn't need. And she said it just seemed like she was just drawn to it. And she broke a soul tie with things. And when she did, she said, you know, it would just amaze me what happened. She said that I can walk in the store now, no matter what I see. She says, I have no desire to buy it. He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's what she said, and I believe her, because she was buying everything, some of the most foolish things I'd seen. And now she says that she has no desire to go and buy. And we need to break a soul tie with the world and the things of the world. And ask God in its place to put a desire in us for the things of Him. Amen? Amen. It's according to what we want. We want all of our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions restored so we can worship God with every part of our being. God says He will restore all that over in Joel, where He says that He'll restore all the cankerworm, the palm worm has stolen. Man, I'm saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want everything the devil has stolen from me, everything brought back. And I want it brought back 100-fold. The devil has tried to steal my grandchildren. He's tried to steal my kids. We paid a price for walking in deliverance and believing this. And the demons have attacked us in so many ways you wouldn't believe. That's when Irma and Glenn were talking about their attack. I understand perfectly what they were talking about. And they're trying to rob us of our grandchildren. So pray that the enemy will not steal our children, our grandchildren. I won't give up. I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm going on with you, and I'm not going to give up no matter what the devil does. He's going to try on different tactics, and he always does. But God has given us authority. He says, I've given you authority, and you tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now I want to say this. I'm shutting up on the soul and the breaking of the soul tie and all this, but let me say this to you. The word says in Mark 16, the believer will cast out devils. The believer. Are you a believer tonight or this afternoon? Do you really believe? Some of you sitting here like, you know, but let me tell you, if you know Jesus, if you say you believe, you should be doing the works of Jesus of casting spirits out and get people free enough that they can walk where the devil can't steal from them and can't take their lives. We're sitting around and letting the devil take people's lives when we need to run the devil off of them. Irma shared this upstairs about the spirit of death up there. And this lady that was prayed for the other night, she thinks she's here today. The Lord showed me, and I'm guilty because I saw the death on her, and they didn't get it off of her. They didn't even touch it. She gave testimony last night. But she got soul tied with death. She got soul tied with her husband. He's in a nursing home. And she got soul tied with death, and it needs to be broken. It needs to be gotten off of her. Listen, God is showing us, and he wants us to get up and do something about it. I'm preaching to me. I didn't do it. I thought I'd let them do it. I always say let them do it. I keep telling the Lord, let him do it, too. I'm ready to let him do it. But God shows it to us, and he wants us to do something about it. Well, he wants us to go and set people free. I have talked to more people here that are hurting and need deliverance. And we need to do deliverance and get them free. Amen? Well, in the name of Jesus, let's break the soul tie with the world and the things that have blinded us, that God can show us the truth to set us free. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now as our deliverer. Father, you said in your word, they that call upon the Lord shall be delivered. And we call upon you now to deliver us. And Father, we ask you to set us free from every evil soul tie. We break them in the name of Jesus between us and the world. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to send forth your angel to break every jar, unearth everything that has any portion of our soul, and restore every part of our soul the way you put it in us when you created us. Father, make us ever with whole. Spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I know that your power and authority is more than enough to do it. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And I call out every evil soul tie right now that's in anyone, in everyone in here, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I call out those evil soul ties. I call them out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Every evil soul tie.
Things of the world, come out of them. Come out of them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord rebuke every evil soul tie. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command the things of the world. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Come on out of there. Come on out in the name of the Lord Jesus. No, come out. Breathe them in. Breathe them out, people. Don't fight it. Don't fight them. Let them free. Let them go. You don't want them. You don't want them. Come out. Come on out of there. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and come out. In the name of Jesus. Every evil soul tie with things of the world. Things of the world. Those things of that we see with our eye. They have to go. Everything. Everything that we've desired and placed our love on and our desires on. Come out of there. Come out. Those things that we've placed ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Things of the world. Things of the world. Come out. Come out. Come out. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out of there. Every one of them. Every one of them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. He's got more than you have. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out of there. Come on out in the name of Jesus. I bind unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now in the name of Jesus. I bind all the unbelief in here in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I render you powerless. Powerless over this people. The spirits of unbelief that refuse to let them believe in deliverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out of them now. Come out. All those things. Things that we just broke the tie with. They're broken. They're broken. If you want rid of them, spit them out. Cough them out. Yawn them out. Any way you want to do it. Any way the Lord wants to do it to push them out. Don't hold on to them. Don't hold. Breathe hard. Breathe deep breaths. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. They come out usually through some type of air. Usually the air, the heavy breathing, the coughing, the sneezing. Yeah, you'll even throw up sometime. Come on out of there. Come on out in the name of Jesus. They could come out your ears. They could come out your eyes. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. But there'll be some type of visual sight of them to see that they're gone. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. But you'll know definitely when they're gone because you're changed. You're changed. They're not there. You're free from it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I break a soul tie with every person here with their father. An evil soul tie with the father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I break an evil soul tie with mothers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The evil soul tie with the mothers. I break an evil soul tie with children in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I call those evil ties out. Those that where we have placed more love upon those than we have on our Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that's an evil soul tie. Come out of them. Come out of them. Where we've let them take advantage of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and let them go. With parents, with children. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out of them. Come out now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break soul ties with close friends in the name of the Lord Jesus. All the close friends in the name of the Lord Jesus. Where you've made friendship that you've placed an esteem above your Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break that evil soul tie in the name of Jesus. And I call it out. I command it to loose. I send angels. I send angels to restore, to bring back those portions of your soul. And I command that portion of that soul that's in you from that other person to go in the name of the Lord Jesus, whether it be parent or child or friend. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command it to loose them and come out now. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there. Come out. Come on out. That's it. Come out of her. Come out of her. Let her go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Let her go. The Lord rebuke you. You know, we stand up and we break curses. Witchcraft is very prevalent in this area. I don't know whether you know it or not, but it is. It's very prevalent. We have a lot of witches in this country. We have a lot of witches across the river where I live, too. We break those things, but you know, we break the curse. We don't think about calling it out, though. And we have to call that curse out of us. Remember that when you go home. You have authority. If you're a child of God, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, that shall cast out devils. What's a curse? It's a demon. It is a demon. A curse is a demon. And he's in there working. And I break curses over you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break witchcraft curses over this congregation, over every person in the sound of my voice. The witchcraft curses that have caused you unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus, that have caused you to turn your back on teaching in the name of the Lord Jesus. The witchcraft that refuses to let you hear teaching in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break those curses in the name of Jesus and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call them out. Those curses that have been loosed against you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I command them to come out. I also do a little teaching while I'm calling these things out. You know you got a witch in your church? Yeah, that got quiet, didn't it? Most every church I've ever seen has had at least one. A lot of them have several. They act more religious than you, though. They know all of the words. They know how to do every bit of it. A lot better than you do. Because they can't be found guilty while they do their dirty work. And they will underhandedly destroy everything that you believe in. That's what they're there for. And they're in most every church I have ever seen. I don't know if I'm safe in saying every church. I dare say I'm safe in saying every church. I don't know whether I can get any agreement with that or not, but I think they are in every church. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So, I want you to, when you go home now, to remember about the witches in your church. And you ask the Lord to give you wisdom to fight that, not a spirit of suspicion, but a spirit of discernment to find out what's going on in your church. Because it's there. There's a lot of stuff going on. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I break a soul tie with a blood brother. Anyone you've made a blood brother or a pact with, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, you go way back for some of these. The Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts. The Girl Scouts. The foster family. Where you've made pacts. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break those covenants you've made, those soul ties, in the name of the Lord Jesus, with Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and foster families, and blood brothers. Blood brothers. Anybody ever done with you as a kid? You made a blood brother? Yeah, praise God. I break that soul tie with that brother in the name of the Lord Jesus that you committed that with. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I set you free. And I call your soul back from that brother that you claimed as a blood brother in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I send his soul back from you this night, this day, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose him and come out of him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I break soul ties with fraternities in the name of the Lord Jesus and sororities in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out of them. Come out of every evil soul tie with fraternity and sorority in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. You know, there's a lot of deliverance that we can go. I've got a list. I've just got a list and list and list of things that we can call. How many demons are there? Nobody knows. Everything you can name, there's a demon behind it. Compromise, condemnation, confusion. Come on out of there. Come on. I like confusion. I like to get rid of confusion. Confusion. You've got to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command that confusion out of this people. In the name of the Lord Jesus. God has not given us fear, but a sound mind. Sound mind. Confusion has no place here. Come out. Come out. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Spirit of confusion. Confusion. In the name of Jesus. Contention goes. Contention also. Fighting. Wrath. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All the greed and lust. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out. Covetousness. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Criticism. Criticism. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Cruelty. Cruelty. Let them go. Retaliation. Grief. Sexual torture. Sexual violence. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You got to go. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Haunt that spirit of death. That spirit of death that is prevalent over this place. Yes, he's here. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I command you to loose this people. In the name of Jesus. I don't care how long you've been there. The word declares you have to go. How many believers we got here? Who believes death has to go? In the name of Jesus, death, come out. Come out. Come out of this people. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That spirit of death that hovers over this people. In the name of Jesus, I break your power you have over this people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you to loose them and come out. Death. Death has, you've already been defeated. The Lord Jesus Christ defeated you 2,000 years ago. You have no place here. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. There's a spirit of deception. Deception. You have to go too. You can't stay. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call out deception. Spirits of deception in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Depression. Depression. You have to go too. The Lord rebuke depression. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As a spirit called destruction. His name is Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in Greek. And he's very prevalent. And I dare say that he's working in a number of people today, right here under the sound of my voice. I command you to loose this people. You're not hidden. You're not hidden in the name of the Lord Jesus. Apollyon, 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 come out of them. Come out. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that spirit of Apollyon, Apollyon, you've got to go. Destruction. I know you. I know you. I've seen you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you have to go. You can't have this people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. Destruction. You have no place here. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, come on out of there. Come on out. In Jesus' name. Don't hold on to him. No, you don't want to go home with him. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Destruction. Destruction. You've got to go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Spirits of destruction. Apollyon and Abaddon. The destroyer and destruction has to go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no place here. You have no place here in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You see, we hold on to a lot of things that we have no business holding on to. And the first time we sit in deliverance, we don't know that we're holding. A lot of times we don't have any idea how hard we're holding on. Our teachings, the things that we've walked in the past times, especially the teachings we've had in church. You say, well, I didn't have any of that. Before I quit, I want to tell you this much about demons. I'll use a homosexual demon because most people know what I'm talking about when I say homosexual. If I call a homosexual spirit off of one of you, you would look at me and say, I'm not a homosexual. I didn't say you were a homosexual. I said there was a homosexual spirit on you. That doesn't mean you're practicing homosexual. That means there's a spirit there. All he's doing is sitting there gaining strength. He's gaining strength all of the time. Every time you open the door with sin, he picks up another demon to help him strengthen himself. And when he gets strong enough, he'll take over. You say, I'd never let that happen to me. You don't have any control over it. What makes the preacher run off with the wife of the choir director? He is a man of God. You have known him for years. He has led you. He's led your family. And you've never seen a thing wrong in his life. And all of a sudden, they are gone just like that. What happened? You see, that thing has been working for years in his life, and nobody ever saw it. And it was gaining strength all of the time. Every one of you have parts of your life that you keep hid. You don't let anybody see that side of you. Just about every person here, and I think I can say every person here, you have a portion of your life that you don't dare bear out. And you surely wouldn't do it in church because you'd be had for dinner almost every dinner table in the congregation if you told it in church. So therefore, we keep it quiet. But you know that there are things in your life. And as we open doors, those things gain strength over and over and over again. How do you get rid of all this? You openly confess. My wife always is confessing in church. Every time you turn around, she's up there confessing things in her life. Why? She doesn't want any secrets. The devil won't have a secret against her. He has no way to get a secret against her. If she does something wrong, she tells the whole congregation she does it. Because he can't bring it to her and say, I'm going to tell on you. Can't do it. So therefore, they know all about my wife and church. And if we'll be as open before God as she is like that in church, and I'm not lifting my wife. I guess I am. I think a lot of the girl. She's a part of me. And I know her. I know her, and therefore I can talk about her because I do know her. And I can't talk about other people that I don't know. And I know this situation. And if we will get as honest with our Lord so that there is nothing hidden, that the devil doesn't have any hold over us, and he can't bring these things out and open doors and let you open doors and him fill you full of garbage. And that's what we're talking about, is garbage. Because that's how it's going to come out. Deliverance is a way of life. It's not something you came over here to do. If you don't carry it home, what you got here is not going to help you a whole lot. It will help, but not a whole lot if you don't carry it home with you and continue it. We do more teaching, as much teaching, as we do setting people free. I don't know how much deliverance you all have had before, where you've sat in deliverance before. We've got a lot of new faces. The reason I'm saying I've never done this before, I usually just get up and call the spirits off, but we've got so many new faces here that I've never seen you before. I see a lot of familiar faces, but praise God, there's a lot of new people here. And this is a way of life. So if you want to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to walk in deliverance. There's just no way out of it. If you don't, the devil's going to get you. He's going to get you. Anything? Are we about ready? We are ready for supper. Let's all stand and
praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we just praise and we thank you that you're a God that is enough. It's not in our hands, Lord, but it's in your hands. So, Father, we just praise you for what you're doing, what you've already done, for the work of the ministry here that goes forth, for the deliverance, Father, for the word. We praise you for your kingdom, Lord, that we can walk in that kingdom. For Jesus our Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. Now, Father, we thank you for food. We bless it and set it apart to nourish and strengthen us as we go to the table, Lord. And as we partake of this food, we just give you the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.